Hello, I'm Dr. Lan Lan Smith, Editor-in-Chief of The Lancet Hematology. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Dr. Emanuela Ambrose, pediatrician and lecturer at Bugando Medical Center and Catholic University of Health and Allied Sciences in Northwest Tanzania. Her research focuses on the treatment of sickle cell anemia in sub-Saharan Africa, and she is the first author of the SPHERE trial published in The Lancet Hematology, looking into stroke risk prevention in children with sickle cell disease in Tanzania. Welcome to our conversation, Dr. Ambrose.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So please tell us a little bit about what the current standard of care is for patients with sickle cell disease in Tanzania.
So the current standard of care is diagnosing patients with sickle cell disease. But majority of our hospitals from the district to the lower levels, they do screening tests, also ability tests, that only tells you that you have sickle cell, but it does not tell that you have sickle cell traits or you have sickle cell anemia. And so these patients are presenting to us so late with complications already, a lot of blood transfusions, hand and foot syndrome, and some are coming with stroke. So when they come to us, we diagnose them and then we enroll them to our clinic care where we teach them on sickle cell disease and involve them in folic acid and PenV, yes, and treat them with their infection and any complication that they encounter.
Yeah, so it is quite difficult because we're getting patients that are already quite far down in their disease journey. So give us a little bit of background about the SPHERE study. So in your study, you mentioned that stroke reduction strategy of chronic transfusions aren't really feasible in low-income settings. So what have you tried to do with your trial?
Yeah, because we have high prevalence of sickle cell disease, especially in my area, northwestern Tanzania. And also we did prior study and found that a lot of patients are being admitted with stroke. So we studied that majority of developed country are using blood transfusion, but that's really not feasible at our area because we don't have enough blood. We have scarcity of blood most of the time. And also aluminization and other effects of blood because we are not doing like extended cross-matching. So it's really scared to us. So we thought is a hydroxyurea an important thing that you can use in order to prevent the risk of stroke. That came to our mind, and then we initiated this due to all those.
Yeah, so how did you go about conducting your study?
So in conducting the study, we did a prospective trial where we enrolled all the sickle cell patients from our clinic. And in our enrollment, the entry point was the transcranial Doppler ultrasound. And those who had elevated T3D above 170, they were completely initiated on hydroxyurea, and then they were screened for elevated T3D every 6 months on their progress. And those who had normal below 170 centimeter per second, they were continued in yearly screening of the T3D. And we were reviewing also their lab in year basis. Yes, that's it. And at the end, we came out to about 45 patients who had elevated T3D. Those had condition and abnormal whom we enrolled them to care.
Yes, and then you started treating these patients with the hydroxyurea.
Yes.
Another part of your study was concerns about actually doing the hydroxyurea dose escalation. So what accommodations were put in place to help ensure that this treatment was feasible in a low resource setting such as the one this trial was done?
Yes, so to make sure that we conducted well this study on hydroxyurea and escalating with the dose, we made sure the first thing first, all the patients who consented, they really had the purpose to come in the study and they understood about the study. They understood about hydroxyurea in their sickle cell status. The next thing after they understood all this, we made sure prior that all people who were involved in the trial, they received local training on what is hydroxyurea and the benefits of hydroxyurea. and local training on the transcranial Doppler screening that two people from the institution were trained by Cincinnati Children's Hospital on how to perform a high-quality TCD exam and how to diagnose this, and so that those who had a high TCD could be enrolled to care. So we made sure also all participants are aware on all the labs that they were getting from the study and all the investigation that they were receiving from the study so that they can understand how they go on while on hydroxyurea.
So what were the results of your study? What did you find?
So we found there were a very high prevalence of sickle cell disease in our area, about 24% risk of getting struck. And we found also those who were on the normal TCD arm, they were converting to the in the elevated TCD. So at the end, we realized, despite that, we need to prevent all this with elevated. But with time, those who are normal also, they turn to elevated and they need to get hydroxyurea in escalating dose in order to prevent their stroke risk. And also, we came to find that when giving these patients hydroxyurea from 20 milligrams per kg per day and escalating it slowly to a maximum tolerated dose, there were significant improvements on their TCD velocity on their follow-up.
Yeah, so you found a intervention that works, and with the slow scale up, there weren't that many adverse events as either for these patients, which is fantastic.
For the treatment arm, there were no great adverse events compared to that arm with the normal TCD who were not kept on the study treatment.
Yeah, so what are the implications of your findings? Is there going to be long-term follow-up for the patients enrolled in these trials? Because at the moment, you looked at them for up to 2 years following enrollment. So I guess the real proof will be what happens next.
So because this study have seen that when you do TCD screening and also provide hydroxyurea, you maximize primary stroke risk prevention strategies. So the long-term follow-up, yes, we are doing that, involving all patients who are on the trial, those who had a normal TCD and those with elevated TCD. And now we are working on approvals. We want to check also on PK dosing and also splenomegaly and malaria, comparing all those together so that we can future come with one thing that will tell us what is the great dose pertaining our participants, especially in low resource setting. And also, because we have a lot of splenomegaly, which also interfere, we will get a certain answer that will help us in managing our patients.
That's really great. And you touched on this a little bit earlier, but one of the really fantastic things that has come out of this trial is that you've shown it's possible to build local capacity in terms of provision for the high-quality transcranial Doppler screening, along with the provision of this disease-modifying therapy that's not reliant on blood banks and transfusion. So what needs to be done for other countries and other areas to do the same, to replicate your results that we've seen here?
Yeah, in order this to be feasible to other study areas, to other areas in Africa, I think it's better that we should have hydroxyurea in our countries. Having hydroxyurea will minimize the costs of these patients. Also, because we learned TCD, they are also able to learn TCD and to use TCD to their patients. Determining the risk of stroke is very important. Despite that, hydroxyurea, we have seen, despite of decreasing the risk of getting stroke, there were more hematological improvement also that the study defined. So the patients will really benefit from this. Also, despite of having a hydroxyurea available, we have to understand what does hydroxyurea do to our patients so that we can counsel them well and so that we can know when adverse events occur. Because majority of adverse events are from the disease itself and they are not from the hydroxyurea.
Yes, but obviously you need to be able to make sure these patients are get the clinical investigations that they need if there is any issues. So I mean, this is a great study. It's so nice to see these interventions working. And I think you said that you didn't see any strokes in the patients that you treated on this trial. So that is a huge, huge achievement. So for anyone who's interested in learning more, I highly recommend that you go read the original paper, which has been published in The Lancet Hematology. And thank you so much for joining me for this conversation today, Dr. Ambrose.
Thank you so much, Lan-Lan.